Glory to God. Anybody help me tonight? I need some help. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. Chose us before the foundation. And here you thought you chose him. Having predestined us, like I said this morning, limited us, restrained us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. He restricted our lives so he could adopt us. Then Galatians, the fourth chapter, verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under the tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, his flesh, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are the sons of God, hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Friday, I saw some things about my adoption. How God chose me. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word that would go forth unhindered. Lord, you're speaking to us tonight. It's just not a man. It's God. It's your spirit, Lord. Bless it as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm also reading from John, the 15th chapter. One of my favorite scriptures is verse number 16. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Jesus is saying, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you. Amen. Hallelujah. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. My kids have, over the years, asked me for a lot of things because I'm their dad. They didn't go over to the neighbor and ask them. They didn't ask strangers. They didn't ask the rest of the family. They asked me because I am responsible for them. Amen. So anyone here adopted? Everyone in here has been adopted. Everyone. I remember a time when my sister, who was 10 months younger than me, we were in a little bit of an argument. Other than that, I was a perfect child. And I remember saying to her, I don't know if you know this, but Mom adopted you. Mom! Like, okay, now you're not a part of the family, you know? You know, we all look different because we've all been adopted. Amen. You know? Thank God for that. Amen. Amen. No place in the Old Testament is the word adoption used. None. We could not have been adopted before Jesus died for us. He had died for us that we could be adopted or incorporated into the body of God. We were redeemed from under the law to be adopted as sons and daughters. Like Ephesians 1 and 4 says, we were chosen to be his children before the foundation of the world. It's almost incredible that he would choose me thousands of years before. You've got to understand the privilege of the adoption. Let's see. You come and live in my house. Like Zacchaeus up in the tree, just trying to get a good view of Jesus, and all these people are thronging. He says, you, come down. You're coming to my house. I've adopted you. Amen. Every one of us were adopted by Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to confuse anyone here, but our adoption did not happen until we were born of the water and born of the Spirit. Because when we were baptized in Jesus' name, well, we took on the name of the family, you see, filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But adoption is a choice of someone to be responsible for somebody else. And what he has chosen is that he's going to be responsible for you. I know you're smart, and I know you're strong, and I know you've got a job, but nevertheless, he takes the responsibility for each and every one of us. Adoption refers to the act by which someone becomes the legal guardian of a child and assumes all the responsibility for them. It's a serious commitment. Generally, it has to go through a court, and the courts decide. The one adopted then becomes the legal heir, just as a natural born child is the legal heir. One of the most significant elements in the legal process of the adoption is the adopted child takes on the surname of the one who adopts them, providing a new identity and promise of a future inheritance. You just didn't realize what had happened when you went into the waters of baptism. Because not only did you get a new name, Lord, he took on the responsibility of taking care of each and every one of us. Amen. Now, each of us have taken on the name of Jesus. Not only is the name of the Lord Jesus called over us in baptism, but we are called by his name. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people who are called by my name... Hallelujah. James, Schumacher, Jesus. We've added a name to each one of your names, you know. If you want to go to ancestry.com, it'll probably go way back 4,000 years and show that he had adopted you long before you were ever born. Amen. Take a look at Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation 3 and 12. Says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You know, when an artist does something incredible, he signs it. You're signed and you're numbered and you're valuable because few there be that find this way. If you turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans 8 and 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Not just Father, my father. When a child is adopted, whether it's from an orphanage or another family that failed, now they have the privilege of saying, you're my daddy, you're my father. We have the privilege of doing that. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. Amen. Glory to God. The word adoption means the placing of a son or daughter in your house. When you were adopted, you were placed in his house. His house. Because we have then taken on his name and have been adopted into the family of God, we have access to the power, we have the access to the privilege of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have that privilege if you're not a part of the family. If you don't have the family name, you don't have that access. Without a father, there is no protection. There isn't any provision. But even more important is the love that we receive from the one who died for us. Amen. One soul worth more than all of the world. So we could be a part of the family name. And one day, we will inherit all that is of the Father's because we've got a new name. Amen. New name. Amen. So do you know who you are tonight? There are some Pentecostals who really don't know who they are. Are you sure you really are who you think you are? Are you living for God? Or are you living far below the privileges that God has given you as heirs? I've had people call me and ask me, you know, is this Pastor Schumacher? And because I've got this weird sense of humor, I've said, I think so. I'm wearing his clothes, you know. But if we're Christians, we should portray the God that adopted us and wear his righteousness. Can people readily identify us as belonging to Jesus? When they see us on the job, when they see us in the marketplace, maybe we should ask the same question Jesus asked in Mark or Matthew 16, but whom say ye that I am? Who do I look like? Could it be that the people around us have a better perspective of who we are than even we do? I mean, I can't tell you how many times someone has said something and then they looked at me and said, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have used that language. They must know that I'm a child of the King, you see. I'd like to call myself a sanctified saint, but how do those around me see me? As a sanctified saint, I can identify myself as a Pentecostal, but do others perceive me as one full of the Spirit of God, having a close relationship with my God, able to have God respond to me in a miraculous way? Do they think that I have power that other people don't have? Because I do. I have access that other people don't have. The world and the devil needs to know who we are. We cannot live in the church incognito. We cannot be disguised when we're outside this building as I'm like you. No, we should stand out because we can't be a hidden church, folks. But first, we need to understand who we are. If we don't understand who we are, you know, it's like the spies that went into the promised land and they thought they were grasshoppers because they thought they were grasshoppers. We're not just another church that gets together a few times a week to perform religious rituals. We're not just somebody who gathers together. We're not just an organization that kind of believe some of the same rules and regulations. We are what Jesus is. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors. We have miraculous power. The midnight hour has come, and the church is rising to the occasion. I talked about it this morning. I really believe we're entering into another era of power that God wants to put us on display. We can't be hidden in a corner, afraid of what is going to happen in the world. We should be excited about it because we know God's going to use us in a greater capacity than ever before. We have the same power they had in Acts 19. 2 years, 12 men turned everything upside down. The Bible told us in the last days, evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse. But it also says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So the worse it gets out there, the greater it is in here, the greater power that we have. The church is greater today than it has ever been. Hallelujah. Don't tell me, remember those great days when God had great moves of God. No, no. I want the devil to know who he's dealing with. It's not, I think I'm Pentecostal. I could have power. We better know who we are in these last days. God has equipped us with power to deal with any situation that comes up. Take a look at Acts, the 19th chapter. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 11. After these men on the road to Ephesus were filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Remember, they were already baptized according to John's baptism, but then they were rebaptized the right way, calling on the name of the Lord. And verse 11 says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought onto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I don't know how many handkerchiefs I've anointed over the years and how many have affected those who have been sick or needed a deliverance, because it's in the Bible. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Not us, Paul. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. So here's a religious guy, chief of the priests, not the ones that preached Jesus, but they had some form of religion. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all of the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. The church, you know who you are, the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, according to the Bible. You cannot be the church unless you come out from among them, hallelujah, needs to look the devil in the eye when he asks the question, who are you? Now, I'm not talking about the church as a whole, not the United Pentecostal Church, not the Apostolic Faith Church. I'm talking about the individual, you, me. Each of us have to respond to the challenge of the devil individually, not as a youth group, not as a ministry, not as a church. The devil wants to know, who are you? Test the power. Test the identity. Well, my pastor says, my youth leader does. No, what about you? So in our 19th chapter of Acts, there is this great move of God in Ephesus. Wow, it's awesome. Miracles are happening. Spectacular things are happening. That always draws a crowd. Great things happening, deliverances, healings, demonstration of God's power. Verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. They took handkerchiefs from Paul, laid them on the sick, and they were healed, and evil spirits were departed. But there were a group of people in that city that didn't know who they were. There's a whole bunch of Christians who don't know who they are. They were called vagabonds. That's what the Bible says. Which in the Greek means to vacillate, to sway from one side to another. Well, I'm not sure what I really believe. I know what the Word of God says, but, you know, a lot of people are out there, they don't believe exactly that. They're vagabonds. Changing opinions and changing course of action. They dealt with spiritual things without full truth or authority from God. You can't deal with some things unless you know who you are and the authority that God has given you. A group that couldn't be church because they were too spiritual. I don't have to be under anybody because I know God. That's a very dangerous place to be. When they heard about the special miracles, they wanted in on the action. You know, I love the pyrotechnics of the church. I'll bet we could get a crowd if we could walk on the water. You know, if we could do this or we could do that. Hallelujah. These seven sons of Sceva who were, spiritual but without full truth, decided that they too would begin to use the name of Jesus. So they picked a fellow that they decided had a devil. The only problem is he really did have a devil. Let's play church and see what happens. Glory to God. They all gathered around the man and said, let's use that thing Paul used and begin to cry out, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, they didn't expect the devil to talk to them. But that demon-possessed man swung around and looked every one of those seven sons square in the face and said, oh, yes, Jesus, I know. Yeah, he took the keys to hell out of my hands. And Paul, I know, he's been a thorn in my side for a whole lot of years. But what I want to know is, who are you? Or who do you think you are? Amen. The fact is that they didn't know who they were, but most all, sometimes we just don't realize the power that we have. All they heard was the preaching of someone else's experience. You know? Let's try that in our church. There are people who tried to duplicate Pentecost without having any kind of restrictions of what the Word of God says. Sing the same songs. You know? Maybe have the same musicians, maybe even clap their hands and raise their hands. But you're just playing church unless you know who you are, unless you've had the adoption, unless God chose you and you responded. Hallelujah. We can't become Pentecostals because we sit in a Pentecostal church or hear Pentecostal preaching. We must identify as a Pentecostal. Amen. I know there are some who tried to dumb this thing down and rename their church Pleasant Valley of Believers in the name of, you know. Let's not call ourselves brother and sister anymore because that'll freak people out. Glory to God. No, no, no. That's our heritage. This is my family. You are my brothers. You are my sisters. Amen. I don't want to go incognito because if I do that, then the power's gone. We start to forget who we really are, our identity. And that's the problem, is the enemy wants us to forget about our identity, who we are, and how we have been adopted and born of the water and born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. All they had was a name that they heard somebody else use. But we can't forget our identity. Every generation and every individual must face the challenge of the devil. We can't just become heirs of a great church. We must be great ourselves because of who we represent. Amen. The devil is saying, even tonight, I know Jesus and I know David Bernard. And I know Jerry Jones, and I know Mike East, and I know Lee Stone King, and I know Bill Davis, and I know John Putnam. But what I want to know is, who are you? Now, these are great men of God that have accomplished great things. But Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, no greater man born of a woman was that of John the Baptist, but the least of you is greater than he. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I knew your grandmother and your mother. Wow, she was a prayer. I know your pastor, and I know your youth leader, but we need to pray like they did, believe like they believed, live like they lived. I wonder how many times I've talked to somebody about God and they told me that they had an uncle that was in the ministry or a mother that really loved God. So somehow they thought they'd get under the umbrella of that person who really was living for God. But, you know, I'll take my chances. Hallelujah. We have got to be in the family. Let me tell you something. Convictions are not inherited from parents or pastors. People get hurt just like the seven sons of Sceva in verse 16, overcome by the devil, prevailed against, fled out of their house naked and wounded because they played church and never became part of the church. There's a membership here. I know over the years people have asked me, do you have a membership form that I can sign? I said, yeah, you have to see my boss, Jesus. Yeah. See, he does have a membership. You know, you need to be baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Vagabonds, vacillating. Will I serve God or won't I serve God? Will I obey this part of the word or that part, struggling with holiness and faithfulness. Young people, you'll always be beat up by the devil if you struggle with mom and dad's conviction or my conviction and not adopt your own conviction, because you have to have your own conviction. Well, mom said, well, my pastor said, no, no. What's your identity? Glory to God. You've got to get this thing in your heart for yourself. So you really know who you are. This is a test. You have situations come up in your life, and now my pastor isn't here, dad and mom aren't here, youth leader isn't here. What are you going to do? You're going to step forward? You know, the story of David is such a great story, you know? Here, all of his brothers are worried about this Goliath guy. He's Philistine. He's going to, you know, boast that he's going to kill all of the Israelites. And he says, you know what? I think I can handle that because I took care of a lion. I took care of a bear. I know who I am. I come in the name of the Lord, you see? He was just a boy when he got victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, the devil isn't afraid of the name of Jesus. He is afraid of those who have the right to use the name of Jesus. And we have the right. Hallelujah. I've gone into operations, and the last thing I said was, Jesus. I've been about to get into an accident, and I said, Jesus. You see, because I identify dead. Will you help me? Glory to God. Amen. Listen, this question from the devil is not an optional question. He's got to ask everybody. Satan cannot attack until he first identifies who you are. Wait a minute. You guys know Jesus? That's what he was saying to these disciples. Do you know Jesus? And if they said, yes, I'm baptized in his name, filled with the Holy Ghost. No, I'm not going to mess with them, you see. Because I mess with them, I mess with Jesus, and I know I can't handle that. Hallelujah. It's not because of our knowledge, but it's because of our life commitment, you see. Satan had better sense to wade into someone who really had the goods and the identity. Amen. Glory to God. You're walking down the street with your son and there's a bully around. He's not going to attack your son because dad's there. So he approaches the enemy of our soul with caution because we have a concealed weapon. Now, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but identify yourself. Can you? Let me hear your name, your rank, your serial number. Let me look into your heart and see if you have the power. Oh, just ask me, Satan, and I'll tell you. I'm a child of the King. I'm the Son of God. I've got power that you can't see. Jesus not coming to me. He's living in me. And greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. There's no battle that I'm going to lose. If you want to take me on, well, you're going to take on Jesus. I belong to an exclusive army with high-tech power. You want a piece of me, get ready to be humiliated, wounded, and naked. Colossians 2 and 15 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Remember that devil? Nailing it to the cross? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a show of them openly and triumphed over them in it. Remember that devil? A little embarrassing, wasn't it? a little shameful. Hallelujah. Thought you had the power, but ran out naked and wounded. Everybody saw the shame. Hallelujah. We had it all. Oh, by the way, my name is James Schumacher Jesus. I know who I am, and my life backs my identity. Glory to God. I was in an office of my accountant on Friday, and he asked for my driver's license and the number, and I looked at it, and I recognized it had expired. Hallelujah. Now my wife has to drive me around everywhere. But your license doesn't have an expiration date on it. There's a privilege with the license that we have, with the power that God gives us. The church is not the sons of Sceva. We're not a group of vagabond bums that have no roots, no responsibilities, no loyalties. See, when we were adopted, we were placed in the Father's house because he chose us, you see. We don't change with the direction of the wind. It takes more than aisle running and foot stomping and noise, not running to where the programs are, but stability and strength, which comes from having roots within the church and knowing who we are. Glory to God. We go to the same house because we have the same Father. I don't want to be a hobo saint thinking that I have the power of God and then get beat up by the enemy. Folks, if we don't have God, I mean really know him for ourselves, then we don't have anything to offer anybody outside of this building. My walk with God can't be based on secondhand experience that somebody else had, the pastor, the parent, the spouse, the friend. Who are you? What's your experience? Amen. It's important for the world to know. It's important for the devil to know. But it's even more important that we know who we are. Our last scripture, if you'll turn to Revelation 2 and 17 as our musicians come. Revelation 2 and verse number 17 is an incredible scripture. Jesus says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." I don't know what that is, but it must be great. "And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." So what God is saying, if you overcome, you're already in the church. You already have the name of Jesus. But there's going to come a time where he's going to give you another name that only he knows. And one day you will know. He's got a pet name for you, if you will. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going to call me, Jesus. Just call me home, Jesus. Just let me live in your house forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. I'm adopted. I don't know if there's somebody in here that's been adopted. But there's something special about it. Because my mother didn't pick me. She just got what I am. But when someone says, "I want you to live in my house, and I'm going to take all of the responsibility for your care and for your protection, and I'm going to love you like you're my natural son or daughter." Well, that's special. That's special. And basically, that's what God was saying, that he chose me, and you, before the foundation of the world. You haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I think I'm somebody special. Not because of who I am, but because of whose I am, because of who I belong to. Hallelujah. There have been times when I just needed to talk to my dad, but he was busy, or he was working, or he had his own problems. I didn't get the comfort and the counsel that I needed. But you've got a father. Amen. You can talk to in the middle of the night. Amen. You can ask him to help you wherever you are. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too costly. Because I'm a child of the King. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? The saddest thing that I know of is the prodigal son leaving the house. He was an heir to all that was his father's, but he thought it was better to go someplace else. And I'll guarantee you, if I leave my father's house, it's not going to get better for me. You know why it won't? Because he wants me back. Amen. He'll make sure it won't be better for me. I'll be eating with the pigs until finally I come to myself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's the greatest insult when somebody chooses you and you decide, I don't want to be chosen. But I'm so grateful that I made that choice. And the fact of the matter is, I said to my wife before the service, I said, you know what? Every person in here is an incredible miracle. Every person. The invitation went out to a lot of people. But you were the ones who responded to the adoption. The altar's open. Would you come?